We talking about again?
Welcome back to the
Everything.
Space Case Sarah Show with the space nerds Kavi and Benjamin here on iRock Space Radio. That was my radio voice, by the way. We're going to talk about the grid and how solar flares and how, like, basically how interconnected we are thanks to space technology, but how also equally very fragile we are. And it kind of was birthed from me playing with ChatGPT, which, by the way, is present with us at this moment on my laptop. So if we want to, you know, ask the AI some sort of space case Sarah question, we definitely can. the reason I became aware of ChatGPT and then how we got into this conversation is that actually at my boyfriend's university, they had a university meeting, and then it went out to all the students about their policy on ChatGPT. So this came out in November, and it is an artificial intelligence language program, which you can prompt it to, in some ways it's very helpful. You could be like, hey, can you give me 5 meal suggestions based on chicken as the main protein source? And it'll boop, 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 and it'll just tell you, right? And immediately people are jumping to the science fiction freaked out worst case scenario fears about it, you know, and they're pushing its buttons to see how self-aware it might be and really testing how it will respond to questions that, you know, kind of play into these, like, I don't know, doomsday sort of AI kind of storyline.
Nothing to worry about until it starts speaking in an Austrian accent.
And then you're not the Australian to... accent?
Yeah. Yeah.
Austrian.
Oh, okay.
We always worry about the Australian accent because you're not real. First of all, for anyone who's like, Sarah, why are you playing around with this? A morbid curiosity, right? Like, I just genuinely was like, okay, what is this hoopla? You know, bad, good, evil, right, wrong. Right away, what I did was I just asked it things about its ethics. I asked things about where it's grabbing its information from. I asked things about how do you handle when something like this scenario happens. I let that person go. I waved to him, I think, already. And one of the things that eventually came very evidently clear to me is that it does not have access to the internet. And I asked it why. And it said, because the internet is too, it's this kind of Wild West unchecked sources of information. And it doesn't have the... it doesn't have the tools to filter the internet and actually source, like, this is accurate information and this isn't accurate information. So I said, so basically you're just a really fancy encyclopedia that can narrate things in sort of a human like tone. And it literally, I sent that screenshot to you guys. It just like parroted that exact same thing back to me. It was like, yes, I am like an encyclopedia. I also have the qualities of a human conversational tone. And I was like, yeah, that's literally what I just freaking said to you. So I'm not terribly scared of it. Actually, it's kind of funny. I had my kids ask it questions last night, and they asked me, why is mom on Mars? And it was like, your mother can't go to Mars. Mars is the fourth planet from the sun. You know, like, it doesn't handle
how them. Dare it tell you what you can and can't do.
I know. So, so anyway, that was a long spiel to just say that, we are,
sorry, I just had to do a check.
It's ChatGPT with you two right now. So yes, apparently Kavi asked
it
about
ChatGPT in the room with you right
blue
now.
Blue diarrhea. And it said, there's no such thing as blue diarrhea, except you spelt it in that European.
Of course, my entire life, I don't care how old I get and how many doctorates I get, I will never spell the word diarrhea correctly first time. It will never happen. It will never happen.
It was weird botching of European spelling. So,
yeah. I was going to say, I think that there's been a lot of hype about ChatGPT and a lot of people very concerned about it. I would say that the majority, I'm generalizing, the majority of the people who are very concerned about it don't understand it. The majority of people who are very concerned about it from a fear perspective, not concerned about it in terms of how it will impact our economic markets and the way that we work and the way that, you know, the education system will work, I agree that it can and will be game changing. And we're yet to see how far along the curve of the change that we're going to have due to AI technology like that is. But the fear of like it taking over, completely unfounded. You won't hear that from anybody who's, you know, a serious computer scientist. I think also something that's important to remember is that ChatGPT is basically just it's a language model, right? It's a predictor of what is statistically, based on all the information that I have in my programming, in my database, what's the most likely word to come next in the sentence that I'm writing.
Mm-hmm.
And it does that based on a static database that every so often is updated. I guess, you know, it's very useful as a search engine. It's incredibly useful for writing code for data scientists and software developers. You can, you know, say, write me a code in Python or Java that does, you know, XYZ. Or take this code that's written in Python and convert it into Java. It's a really useful tool. But yeah, I think we've yet to see any of these like clickbaity headline type fears come to life. And I don't think we will.
Right. But I do think, yeah, you did kind of touch something that has concerned me as a communicator. It's very fantastic at coming up with content, really snippy, easy, bite-sized content. And that could push, you know, social media managers and those kind of job positions out of position, just because of it still will require a human to be the interface of input and then transferring and back and forth. But that could even change as well down the road, because there's another AI called Jasper that's been kind of geared for social media content and producing like that. And you still have to manually export all your stuff to like a spreadsheet, and then it can spreadsheet into Canva and things like that. But
most of the big startups that have, you know, been generated recently on new ideas that are related to AI are all working on APIs, application program interfaces, that are basically taking the output. They can do output input to things like ChatGPT to cut out the middleman. Yeah, I think though that good communicators always give something extra. I think the reason why we're seeing so many clickbait kind of fear-mongering coming from, let's say, you know, BuzzFeed articles, is because a BuzzFeed article is exactly the content that will get replaced. It's vaguely accurate, it's vaguely interesting, and it doesn't play a hugely important role in our society. I mean, that might sound like a grumpy old man take, but if it is, so be it. Like, no.
I think people at BuzzFeed know the quality of BuzzFeed.
Sure. Well, so, but this is, you know, an interesting step in the evolution of our technology, right? The generation that I think all of us, you know, we're a little bit different in ages, but not terribly much, in the sense that we remember a world before the internet, when it was like, you know, my parents got the internet when I was probably in, oh, I don't know, maybe like fourth or fifth grade. So I was pretty young, but you know, the world has shifted dramatically, and we're like the frog in the boiling pot, and we've just been kind of going along with it. Think about someone like having this conversation, even to a high school version of us, we'd be like, what are you talking about? I still have to push a button 4 times to get to the letter S on my phone to send a text. What are you talking about?
You have to sacrifice a robot just to get connected to the internet.
I didn't even have a phone.
For our younger audience, that is literally what it would sound like when you connected to the internet.
Dial up, yeah. And then your mom would come in and go, I need to call Aunt Nancy. Can you please get off the internet because I need to make a phone call? And it is really wild, though. We actually had some ice storms here in my area, my neck of the woods. And I mean, just an ice storm shuts everything down now, because if the power goes out, you know, and that is what has happened. We've had a lot of power outages and people cannot access the internet, and our lives, our working worlds, our everything is internet based.
This is a very good segue to discuss solar storms, solar flares. Yeah, I mean, solar flares, just like, we can dive into this more later if you're interested, or if you think the audience will be interested, and I won't just be talking stellar physics to myself. But basically, you know, the sun is a hot ball of gas in plasma state that kind of flares up on regular cycles of activity. You know, every 11 years, it'll have periods where there are more and more of these flares, and it's kind of just launching off these electrically charged bits of plasma and stellar material into space. And so because you have this electrically charged material shooting off into space, that can and has seriously affected electrical devices on Earth, right? Mm-hmm. In fact, there were events, I think, there was a big event in the 70s and 72 that caused blackouts in some places in North America, from what I remember. And it was actually just in between Apollo 16 and 17. I think 17 was the last mission, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
In the Apollo. Yeah, yeah.
Was the last.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it was.
And so this last big storm happened in August, and the last mission was in December. And if that last mission had been earlier when it was planned to have been, the astronauts would have gotten a serious dose of radiation from this huge solar event.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like we're protected on Earth from parts of solar flares and stellar weather, but it can seriously knock out grids and also satellites, which are responsible for controlling the interwebs and our economy.
And it
we
just...
always have auroras. I've always wondered this. We always have auroras. Not always, but it's a pretty regular event.
Not everyone. Earth,
but I was wondering, what?
Not everybody has auroras.
Well, no. I've always wondered, during a solar event like that, a big solar flare or something, or a big CME, do the auroras get even brighter,
mm-hmm,
or more widespread?
They get, so auroras, or aurorae, if we're, you know, being nice to the Latin experts among us. Okay. I'm sure we have at least one in our listenership.
Yeah, absolutely.
Basically, the auroras are caused. It's a
we
niche.
Have a niche. We have a niche audience for sure. Yeah.
Space nerds who speak Latin.
Hi.
It's basically like we have this kind of like donut shaped, let's say, magnetic field around the Earth that's protecting us from a lot of the radiation, and so it's around the poles where these magnetic field lines meet that most of the radiation or charged particles that do leak in can actually get closer to Earth. So North and South Pole, you have the Aurora Borealis and Aurora Australis in the south. And it's kind of, yeah, like the northernmost part of the planet and southernmost part, respectively, that see the aurora. So yeah, during a period of increased solar activity, or when you have a big flare, like even earlier this month, there were two X-class flares. X is the highest class of flare that we see. And you start seeing places in the southern hemisphere further north and in the northern hemisphere further south that are getting to see aurora. And yet I have still never seen one in my entire life.
I haven't
jealous.
Either. I know. I want to do a trip to like Iceland or something like that specifically for that. But we have to actually take a break because this segment went like solar flare level quick. And when we return, though, what I do want to focus on, though, is our dependency on technology and how the universe, essentially our star, can mess with this. And what are the consequences to that, because I think that they're very far reaching and our vulnerability is like we understand it, but we don't understand it until something happens and then we really understand it. So let's get to that conversation in the next 15-minute segment. You are listening to the Space Case Sarah Show with the space nerds Kavi and Benjamin here on iBrock Space Radio.